Earlier today, we adjusted the commission adjournment for the day to move up the speckled trout issue, which is item number 20. We anticipated a number of members of the public would be here to participate in this discussion.
Good afternoon, members of the commission and commissioner. And Joe Grist is handing out some recommendation letters in terms of the speckled trout issue, which has been going on for a little while. And I will say that we probably don't have 58 people here tonight, but on the 19th, a busload came from Gloucester mainly, and we had a good meeting. And I just want to say that this is only partly the areas where the cold stun kill, which is what this item's about. The header that you had when we did the mail out just indicates that this is a report from FMAC. It actually is going to go beyond just a report. It's going to have recommendations for an emergency amendments to the regulation that governs speckled trout. So this first slide shows some areas both in North Carolina and Virginia. North Carolina did shut down their speckled trout fishery through June 15th. And what staff explained to the crowd that was here on the 19th was North Carolina has proclamation authority, so the director is able to do that, you know, at that time, which he did on, and did it through June 15th. We don't have that liberty here. We had to wait for the commission to meet. Staff also explained on the 19th that it is possible to get the commission together in a special meeting. However, I think there's only been two in the very short time that I've been here. I know of.
That would be 28 years?
27.
27.
So it's very difficult. The commission is composed of business persons, professional persons. To try and get five to get a quorum is a real difficult thing. So I think they understood that. And again, there's more areas here than is shown. So as of February 19th, this is the type of information we had. We had comments already from the gamut of the recreational fishery, charter, and anglers. And many talked about the cold stun events. And the most common recommendations that went into that evening were close the fisheries during the spawning season, which is really the strategy North Carolina had as well, reduce the harvest limit for the remainder of 2014, permanently lower the creel limits to 5 fish. Right now it's 10 fish, except for December 1 through March 31. It is 5 fish, 5 speckled trout during that period. This was another suggestion, close the fish every year from January through April and follow North Carolina's management decision. So these won't all be held to. We had some pretty good folks available, and some of the information we presented was on the life history information. You can see this for yourself. The spawning really is more protracted than that. From what staff knows, these are batch spawners. I have seen in the literature that they can spawn up to 60 times, but it's all in batches. And really, as you're going to see in a minute, the largest peak from the most current data, which really is in the late 90s, will show that through June is the larger peak. However, there's definitely spawning throughout the summer. And the age at spawning, you can see age 1. The spawning size, most 50%, an L50, are mature at 11.5 inches. And you can see the length associated with that. As well as the temperature. So this was presented the other night on the 19th. This is information provided by Susanna Music at DIMS, and the fellow who did the most recent information is Thomas Idy, and it's from a year 2000 master's thesis. And you can see once you're into the June period, that's the peak I just mentioned earlier. However, you can see that there's still some spawning, substantial spawning going on through July. An older work done back when Linda Mercer was working on speckled trout was done by Brown, and what this showed was a little different pattern, but it is 1981 data. But we thought we would show that. It shows more of a pronounced spawning, not quite the peak that ID found in his data. And a lot has probably changed since 1981. You know, climate change is here. Climate change is going to affect our fisheries. Climate change, I think, we'll have to recognize that although the comments we hear that this is one population for North Carolina and Virginia, and typically we say we're on the northern part of the range, that may change a little bit as we move forward. This is an elegant letter from Dr. Luckenbach, in that I found when I read through it, it speaks to the issues that we have with speckled trout management. We really do not have a population estimate. We don't have a spawning stock biomass, female spawning stock biomass estimate. We do not have fishing mortality rates. All the things that you find for striped bass, for example, you won't find for speckled trout. However, I think as you look at this letter, you'll see towards the end that if there is a precautionary action, which was certainly suggested by everyone at the Fin Fish Management Advisory Committee, that will be a situation where you may not know the effects exactly, but certainly it will not result in any adverse effects to the speckled trout population. So for today, there's a little confusion about procedure for some of the public during some of the time, but today, staff is recommending an emergency closure of the recreational speckled trout fishery, and this is in accord with FMAC, and they voted 7-0-2 in favor of this closure. And this closure would extend from March 1 through July 31st. So if you recall that slide on the spawning event, this would capture a lot of that. And it certainly is intended to be risk-averse and to offset losses of spawning potential, but again, it's going to be very difficult to say how much effect that really has. It's certainly something that I would think everyone who was here at FMAC certainly thought this approach was the right way, and staff certainly recommends it to you as well today. Really, the only thing that has to be done today is that closure. The other issues that I'm going to bring up for next month, which were also supported by FMAC, were to have this five fish speckled trout limit year round instead of just December 1 through March 31st, with the addition that only one of the fish can be 24 inches or greater in length. You see that at the bottom here. And that was something that was widely supported by the public who was here, supported by FMAC as well. But that can wait until the public hearing. I would suspect by the time we have the public hearing, if the commission authorizes that today, that there may be some who aren't in favor of the five fish limit. But I think certainly so far a majority of anglers and charter boat captains we've heard from are. So that's just an encapsulation of what happened on the 19th. Seven were in favor. There were two abstentions. And staff recognized complete support of the recreational closure. I'm going to show the emergency chapter. I'll come back to that. But in the orange font, you'll find the changes that are relevant. One would be establishing the effective date of March 1. And at the bottom, you can see that the closure would be to take, catch, or possess any speckled trout while fishing recreationally from March 1 through July 31st, 2014. And this is just 2014. So I want to move on to indicate that there are commercial... Yes?
Your staff support for an emergency closure is based on the status of the stock.
Correct. Resource issue.
Okay. Thank you.
Under 282210. Okay. I'm glad it wasn't
Yeah,
I'm glad it wasn't something different than what that, so that's good. Okay.
Just wanted to get it on the record.
Thank you. The commercial fishery, I think in fairness, there were some comments, a few the other night. We'll close the commercial fishery. Staff explained that the commercial fishery is about 10% of the recreational fishery. The commercial fishery has a non-biological quota, an agreement quota, which was established in 1995 among recreational and commercial groups, and that's 51,104 pounds. Right now, the quota is at about 46,000 pounds, so we're about 86% to the finish of that quota. And I think what staff indicated the other night and will indicate to you is we think an 80% trigger needs to be established in March. 44,000, Joe reminds me, instead of 46. So an 80% trigger would do several things. One, it would help us monitor this fishery. It's become increasingly important that we don't have an overage. We only have one since 1995, but one is too many. And we do know our monitoring tools are not the best. We have to call the buyers and ask them to give us the data. So we want to turn that around a little bit. We'd like to establish for March for the hearing to have the commission allow staff to advertise an 80% trigger. When the 80% trycker is reached, there'll be a bycatch trip limit. At this time, there have only been two scenarios for a bycatch trip limit. One was 100 pounds and one was 250 pounds. Staff recommends that we advertise this broadly so that the Fin Fish Management Advisory Committee before March 25th can settle on what the bycatch limit should be. We really think we should have their help doing that. The other thing we would like to establish for March 25th would be for a buyer's places of business to report on a weekly basis. We think that's very important. Some of the data we can show you next month at the public hearing, pending your decision today, would be that 90% of this fishery is usually, commercial fishery is usually finished once you get through November. So it starts September 1, rolls around to August 31 of the next year, but a lot of that is the Holstein fishery. A lot of that is happening in the late fall. Again, the Fin Fish Management Advisory Committee voted 7-0-2 abstentions in support of this strategy, and staff explained it to those who were here just so they literally wouldn't have any heartburn, that there wouldn't be problems down the road, and I think this is the way to move forward with the commercial fishery as well. I do want to come back to the regulation right there, but before I do, you know, this is as close as you get to co-management as I've seen in quite a while to have this kind of information. And I supplied more letters for you. There are letters up here for anyone who would like them. I would say that there's about 40 extra letters since the 19th which support the recreational measures, both the closed season through July 31st, starting March 1st, the five-fish year-round limit with one fish 24 or greater. And I think there are some letters that do talk about the commercial fishery having like measures. I think there were about six of those. There are also some letters which I may need the assistance of VIMS a little bit on this. One thing I can tell you about our data, we have data that goes back to 1989 for speckled trout. We have biological collections. We have a pretty good idea on the maturity schedules. We have good length data. We started age data in 1998. We have information that it's possible what we're missing are people to do an assessment. And at some point, I think that's going to be very important. There was talk the other night on the 19th about being lumped with North Carolina, but really what Joe Grist was able to dig out is North Carolina used very little of the Virginia data. They used some of the landings data mainly. North Carolina is doing another assessment this year, and what they call a benchmark assessment where they can try different methodologies, and they will use more of our data, but I think it's really time that we try to figure out something with VIMS on how we can move forward, because I think this is going to be a more important species for management concerns as we move forward, especially given the climate change. And some of the letters that you received talk about establishing a framework. So there are about 8 or 9 letters that picked up on the idea that the commission should establish a framework for immediate closure of the fishery the next time a large stun event occurs. Well, that's one thing to say, but I mean, it's pretty difficult if you don't have estimates of population size, spawning population size, fishing mortality rates, which seem to be low from what we can figure, but nonetheless, we don't have that type of data. So I did want to mention that to you, and with that, you can look at the regulation again, and what staff would recommend would be that, at least for now, that this be established as an emergency regulation, and following that, that staff be allowed to advertise this emergency regulation for a March 25th public hearing. In addition, on March 25th, that staff be allowed to establish provisions for a 5-fish year-round speckled trout limit with 1 fish 24 inches or greater. And adding to that, on the commercial fishery, to be able to advertise having a weekly reporting system from buyers so that we can have better monitoring, as well as establishing an 80% trigger for this commercial fishery, and a bycatch limit, which, as I indicated, FMAC will provide. And that is pretty much on your staff recommendation in your package. I do want to recognize some people who really worked hard, if I may, for 1 minute. Keith Nuttall, who is a former law enforcement officer for the VMRC for 33 years, and I think he had a lot to do with collecting a lot of folks to come visit us. He's been fishing for speckled trout since he was 12. So was Craig Page, I learned the other night. He was fishing since he was 12. Both talked a lot about what they've seen over the course of time. John Lucy was here. He had a presentation on the 19th. He's been involved with speckled trout many years, as well as a tagging program when he was associated with VIMS. Wally Beauchamp, who I think says Beauchamp, Wally Beauchamp, who happens to be a former chair of FMAC. When FMAC wasn't FinFish, FMAC was everything with the agency. And he called to say that he personally saw 126 floating speckled trout on the eastern branch of the Curitoman, and some of those were 8 to 10 pounds. He spent 3 different phone calls to try and reach me yesterday. It was just one of those days, but I was happy to talk to him. And then on FinFish, we had some good contributions from Mr. Lockwood, who's here for the Charter Boat Association, and he really had, coming into this meeting, we thought we were going to have a 5-fish limit proposal. And when he came in, he said he wasn't aware that it was going to blossom into what it did on the emergency closure recommendation. So I think it's worthwhile to recognize those efforts. There's also one other thing. I think Tom Powers had sent me an email, and on this bottom line here, the situation, let me see if I can get to that, if I'm lucky. Well, I'll just say it out loud. Right now, the regulation reads that you cannot recreate, it's unlawful to recreational fish and possess speckled trout with hook and line and hand line. It leaves room open for other gear. So what Mr. Powers reminded me of are other regulations, since this is a very old one, have fixed that loophole, so now what will be advertised is any recreational gear. And the idea was cast nets and other gear that fishermen might go beyond the limits. So that's all I have.
Mr. Plumlee.
the commercial fishery is closed when? Can you give me the opening and closing commercial?
It opens on September 1. If it doesn't catch the full quota of 51,104 pounds, it would go to August 31st the following year. So it's a wraparound quota. It's been that way since 1995. Right now, 86% of that has been taken. In March, what would inevitably happen, the 80% trigger would already be reached, and we would hope to have a nice recommendation, a reasonable recommendation from FMAC on the trip limit, the bycatch trip limit, and that would go into effect then and be in effect for other years.
Okay.
Any other questions from the commission? I would imagine there's plenty of people here that have a thought or a feeling about this issue in the audience here. Could I get a show of hands on how many people favor an emergency closure of the recreational speckled trout fishery? How about a show of hands on the number of people that do not favor it? If there's somebody that wishes to speak on an emergency closure, I think it would be perfectly fine to have a couple folks come up and say what they have to say if they want to, or if they're happy to just, sir, please come forward. Yes. Could you give your name for the record, please?
My name is Bob Reed. I am a professional fisherman, charter boat, and an avid recreational fisherman and a consumer of resource. And I appreciate this opportunity. With the decline of the finfish in the Middle Bay area, especially croaker, Atlantic croaker, spot and rockfish, the emergence of speckled trout and redfish has been a blessing. It has kept my charter business going the last 3 years and anticipated it get better. This December freeze was a shock, but we have to accept this. This is Mother Nature. We can't do anything about it. But what bothers me, and let me just say this. Reports of the commercial fishermen setting gill nets in the upper reaches of creeks, sanding the shallow shorelines, and scooping up the last of the yet-to-spawn trout, and the reports of recreational fishermen shooting the dying fish with bow and arrows and scooping up flopping fish along the shorelines just to get an award must be stopped now. And I'm really glad we're doing this, that we're proposing this, and that FMAC is proposing this. I want to thank FMAC and the staff, and as a citizen of this state, Commonwealth, and a voter and a taxpayer, I fully support the FMAC staff's recommendation to close the fishery until the few remaining breeders can produce. But my recommendation would be to stop it immediately or as soon as possible and close it until the fishery, to all user groups, regardless of whether or not they met their quota. I don't think it's fair to close it to recreational fishermen. It just bothers the heck out of me that people, even wrecks, and commercials are going out trying to get the last fish. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak on this matter? Please come forward. Please give your name for the record, Beth.
Hello, my name is Beth Sinowick. I'm on the FMAC committee, and I also am a recreational fisherman, or woman, or whatever you want to say there. I have been inundated with phone calls and messages, some supporting the five fish, some telling me that was silly, most people supporting the emergency closure. Many people are saying it, they wanted to see it happen sooner than March 1st. I happen to have received multiple phone calls in regards to the same thing that the gentleman that just spoke before me discussed. Gill nets, why aren't the commercials coming together with the recreational? And I would be less than a recreational representative if I didn't come forward with those type of phone calls and messages that I've been receiving. And so since I represent recreationals, I have to represent all recreationals. I think that under the circumstances that we don't have all the necessary data to say, you know, what the trout is doing, and we're hearing all these opinions also with the five fish and the 24 inches, I came up with a solution this morning to possibly even add some type of parameter in there that when we go ahead and do that, because you know the next meeting is going to talk about that, to maybe even put the date 2014 under that restriction until we can get all the recreationals together to agree or to disagree, and same with commercials, because I just fear it was almost like being in a room with a bunch of Democrats and Republicans, and we both have to come together on this. This is not something that we can just make go away, and it's just going to get worse, because when you talk speckled trout, people get emotional. You've got tackle shops that depend on the revenue for it. You want the fishery to be healthy, and that's what the basis of the meeting at the FMAC committee was all in unison on. We want a healthy fishery. So if we make the sacrifice of the emergency closure and we let those fish spawn their eggs, and then for the proceeding from after July 31st until the end of 2014, limit the amount of egg breeders that we keep, which would be like one per person, you know, the 24 or greater, that allows the fishery to rebound in a positive level. That allows for a lot of wonderful things to happen, because more of those big egg breeder fish will be available to spawn their eggs, and will help create a healthier fishery. So I'm a human being. I don't have all the answers, but I would be less than a representative if I didn't stand before you and tell you that I have gotten multiple different approaches to this issue, and two of which could not be here because they had doctor's appointments and they wanted to be at this meeting. So that's all I have to say on that. And thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you. We'll have room for one more, I think, and I think we will. Mr. Ledford, you'd had your hand up before.
Thank you. Chris Ledford, a commercial fisherman. Appreciate your time. Briefly, I wanted to also acknowledge, as Mr. O'Reilly did, and thank some other contributors the other night at FinFish, one being Scott McDonald, who's a representative of the commercial fish buyers. And I believe he was the person that originated the trigger, the 80%. I think he'd said 85%. I believe he was the one that originated that. I don't think anybody else brought that or initiated that idea until he brought it to the table. So let's at least give him some credit there for bringing that up. I also want to remind folks that normally, and I'm not here to involve myself in the recreational decision, I'm here to involve myself in any aspect that would affect the commercial fishery. But I do want to remind folks that it's 300,000 pounds, roughly 290 to 300,000 pounds recreational catch versus the 51 on commercial. Also want to say that that this regulation, especially, I didn't really get the exact, this is going to pertain, it says unlawful to any person. I think it should say not only the loophole of any gear type, but it should specify recreational. You know, we're not here, we're going to say we're governed under a quota system. You know, if we want to, if people are incidental.
I think that's exactly
okay, good deal. I just want to make sure of that. All right. Other than that, I appreciate your time. I just want to bring those things to light. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Erskine.
Is the public meeting closed?
Yeah, let's close the public meeting. I think we have a good sense of where everyone's coming from at this point here. Mr. Erskine.
I make a motion to accept staff recommendation with an emergency closure of the recreational fishing season from March 1st, 2014 through July 31st, 2014, and further advertise for a March 25th, 2014 public hearing for additional amendments.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. More discussion.
We got some discussion. You're probably thinking the same kind of stuff. If we're having an emergency closure, and the emergency closure is due to the concern that a large portion of the speckled trout population has been decimated, and that we want to protect what's left to give them a chance to spawn. I understand the commercial quota is small, but if it's an emergency quota to try to let those fish spawn, the rationale of making it just a recreational closure eludes me. So basically, I totally support the closure, but if it's truly an emergency closure, and as Vim said, they don't know. They don't really know if it's a necessary closure. But if we're going to assume that it is, then it should be an emergency closure.
Commissioner?
Yes, sir.
I guess the reason I made that motion was I understood that 86% of the quota had been caught already, and we're at the end of February. I assume that quota would probably be caught.
That's the rationale why staff and it was not talked a lot about it. Finfish and I would want to do something rather than nothing, but I guess my constituents have said, if it's an emergency closure, it should be closed. And
Chief Arroyo.
Yes, just to comment on that, and it's the same comment from the other night. So you have what was provided to the group the other night is numbers. It's about the numbers who are fishing, and if you look here at the time with the peak spawning, taking out those numbers produces the maximum benefit. We are bipartisan here, so we advocate for commercial and recreational as staff. But what was said the other night was end July and come in August, you're still going to have some spawning fish. So the commercial fishery is smaller, as Dr. Neal indicated. It's going to be taking spawning fish even later on. As a matter of fact, we have some GSI information of even in October you have right fish. But the most amount of people fishing is right here. So that was the rationale the other night. It's still that way. That doesn't mean that this commercial fishery will be closed within a week. It could drag on a little bit before it gets to the full 51,104 pounds.
Ms. Erskine.
But the recreational fishery will open up August 1st.
Yes.
It would open up, August 1st.
Okay.
And if you did the same thing with commercial, it would be the same thing. They would open up with their quota August 1st.
Well, can I ask staff a question then?
Yes.
In your best estimate, I guess, on past history, when would that remaining 14% of the quota or what have you be caught?
Well, it's hard to say because some of the cold stunned fish became part of the commercial and recreational harvest. So it's a little different pattern this year. It's accelerated than when it normally is. But when we went over, we closed how early? October was the earliest. So that that didn't take very long. So by the time you get to the next fishing season, September 1, certainly we know it's taken, but we don't know whether it'll drag out a little bit now or whether it'll pick up.
Mr. Plum.
So we went from 20, if I could just, I'll just finish it up. I think we went from 26,000 pounds to 44,000 pounds in a matter of 2 weeks.
Ms. Plum.
Our last reported catch for the commercial fishermen was when?
Yesterday.
Okay. So we have a total up to yesterday to get us to the 86%.
We have a total up to yesterday. Staff thinks, and this is the reason why we want to have weekly reporting from buyers, that there's probably some fish that haven't been reported yet, some small buyers. So it could be a little higher than 86%.
Which could be a fairly substantial reporting due to the current.
I don't know if
climate.
It would be substantial, Commissioner. I think it would be, modest, because we're calling the major buyers.
Why are we starting March 1 instead of starting today?
The earliest we could start, if the Commission would like to, is tomorrow, but yet we still have to get the regulation prepared, get it signed, and everything else. So the register typically, even when you make an emergency on the spot, it's the next day.
We're almost to March 20. Okay.
You got to have some notice.
doesn't get advertised on the website.
And then it's good for 30 days. We've got to watch that.
Right, they have to come back.
Yeah, I guess you know, my thing is I'm not going to vote against your motion. The numbers, the commercial numbers, are going to be minimal. And that's what we came out with FinFish. But still, there's the fact if we're having an emergency closure because we're worried about the health of the stock and we want to get them, let them spawn through July, then we should just get off of them, period, if it's that much of an emergency. And if, as staff did at FinFish, most of the commercial fishery is in the fall, then shutting them down now doesn't affect them. Very minimal. It doesn't. Their commercial fishery is majority is in the fall, right?
Majority is, yeah.
So it would not be typically from now through the end of July. Although I do know they haul seine on coast and flats in the spring. So, you know, I guess my feeling is if it's an emergency, we're shutting them down, we'll shut it down.
Mr. Erskine.
And I certainly would defer to FMAC. You know, there's far more participation on a very finite scale of what these issues are, a lot of participation.
I'm not speaking for FMAC. Now, FMAC basically, Rob told FMAC is your motion.
Right, right.
That's what came out of FMAC is exactly what your motion is.
I guess my only concern is if this was a public hearing only for measures being taken in the recreational fishery, was this a public hearing?
It's not a public hearing at all. Public hearing will be next month.
That's correct.
No, but on this emergency closure that we're...
That will be next month to have a public hearing.
No, but I guess what I'm saying is with the emergency regulation that we're proposing today is only for the recreational fishery, correct?
Yes.
So the commercial fishery has not had an opportunity to weigh in on this?
No.
An emergency regulation, if we extend it to the commercial fishery...
Well, I think you're right. It was mainly a the recreational groups did organize and did come here, and they definitely had a purpose. I guess the one thing that's missing from the dialogue here is that there will be some bycatch now. So if you fish with hook and line, you have a directed effort, you know what you're doing. There will be some bycatch of speckled trout. What net effect will that produce for the stock for the bycatch to be released? We face this problem with gray trout, having gray trout closures with different commercial gear. I mean, that would be the one thing that perhaps the commission should consider, is that these mixed species gear such as gill net, pound net. The gill net's not known to be much of a speckled trout gear overall because they have good sight, the fish. But the a little bit of the haul seine that sprang up. If you remember last year, the J hook haul seine issues off of Pocosin and other areas that sprang up that were a concern, and went through FMAC and also made it to the commission. So that would be the one thing I would indicate is you do have a bycatch situation going on.
And exactly how many pounds remains uncaught of the commercial speckled trout quota at the moment?
We're thinking about six. We're thinking about how much? 7,000 maybe. Probably less. Probably, if we had the few that we haven't accounted for, 6,000 plus.
Ms. Hank.
Mr. Riley, the FMAC meeting was advertised. The agenda item was discussion on an emergency closure for speckled trout for the winter kill for recreational only. I don't think we had the showing of commercial.
I think what happened was the FMAC advertisement was well in advance, and there was a speckled trout issue, and there was a striped bass issue for FMAC. The speckled trout issue was one that Mr. Lockhart had brought up at the previous FMAC, and the issue was really to go to this 5-fish limit. So it was a little after that the whole cold stun and the requests coming from, the constituents about a emergency regulation happened.
Mr. Plumlee.
The emergency measures we take are really irregardless to notice. When we're told by fishery management that this species is under high stress, I mean, notice to the public is really a secondary issue for our commission. We're first to act on the information presented, whatever action is required. Then we come back in 30 days. We have a full hearing, time to sift through the information and to decide. So the question really, I think, is it better for the species in the current condition that we find ourselves in to close all fishing of this species, or do we believe that it's marginal with regards to commercial fishermen and therefore a much less risk to the species, and we can go forward with the proposal as put on the table? You know, and I think that's really the discussion on an emergency basis, as opposed to who knows about it yet, because we're going to come back and have everybody in just 30 days' time have an opportunity to present.
Mr. Erskine.
I fully agree that we need to be here in order to protect species, and if what we're talking about is an emergency closure, it needs to be for the right reasons, not necessarily to have people here to speak at all points. I guess I wrestle with the fact that it seems we have letters after letters of recreational fishermen that support this closure. They had ample opportunity to supply, comments. FMAC dealt with specific agenda item that was for the recreational fishery. That was advertised and led up to a meeting, and I guess my concern is maybe the commercial fishery did not have that opportunity. Aside from that, I certainly would support protecting the species. That's really, truly the reason we're here. And if we all feel, and staff feels, that we would serve ourselves better to close the commercial fishery, then I would certainly yield to that.
I don't want to speak for staff. I don't think staff feels that way. And I'm not sure there's science is really there. And basically, it's that we're talking about a real small poundage. And so I guess I'm arguing both sides of the page here.
That's why,
for your motion, I'm going to vote for your motion. But I thought we should at least discuss it.
Sure.
And if it's a true emergency, it should be shut down. But the thing is, we really don't know. Mm-hmm. We really do not know.
Chief O'Reilly, you can probably help clarify this.
Well, I put Dr. Lukenbach's letter back before you because it is a very realistic look at what we're faced with. The lack of a population size, we don't know. Although he didn't say it, the lack of a spawning stock size, we don't know. The lack of fishing mortality rates, exploitation, we don't know. And then, while a closure of this fishery at this time cannot be scientifically justified, it is a precautionary action that will reduce total mortality, albeit to an unknown degree. I'm pretending that Dr. Lukenbach's not here right now, but he is, and will not result in any further adverse effects to the bay speckled trout population. So staff did not bring all the arsenal that we did for FMAC. One thing to consider, what we looked at FMAC was 2011 was a big year for the recreational fishery. Then it fell down a little bit, 2012. Fell down quite a bit, 2012 and 13. The 300,000 that you heard on pounds was much higher. There's also, if you look back in time, a period where there seemed to be some more stability with speckled trout. So it's almost, there's one thing that would be suggested just by landings, which can be an index of abundance, they're not the best one, is that there's as much variability, interannual variability in the landings, to show that this stock is changeable in terms of its abundance. But we don't really know that, and I think that's what Dr. Lukenbach is pointing to, until we do this stock assessment, and we'll accept any volunteers we can find.
So the motion on the table is on the closure of the recreational fishery at this point. None of the other items are part of the motion. It's the closure.
Wait a second. The motion is to accept staff recommendation, and I believe that was seconded by Ms. Haney.
Correct.
Right. That includes the five, everything else, and then we'll take up public hearing? Okay.
Okay. You ready for a vote?
Mm-hmm.
All right. All in favor of the motion to accept staff recommendation, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.